This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. One of the funniest comics working today is a dog, or more precisely, a rubber puppet Rottweiler. He's Triumph, the insult comic dog. Triumph was created for Late Night with Conan O'Brien by Robert Smigel, the former head writer of the show. Triumph, the insult comic dog, has proverbially pooped on many of Conan's guests. Last year at the MTV Video Music Awards, Triumph went out into the audience to offend a few of the celebrities. But when he approached Eminem, the rap star didn't seem to get the joke and nearly came to blows with Triumph. As we'll hear in a couple of minutes, Triumph is now developing some rap credibility himself. He has a new CD called Come Poop With Me. We'll talk with Triumph and with his creator, Robert Smigel. But first, for some history, here's a brief excerpt of our recent interview with Conan O'Brien, recorded just before his 10th anniversary show.
Most people react pretty well to Triumph. That Triumph became so popular that we started getting celebrities requesting Triumph. John Bon Jovi called up and said, please, can Triumph come over and insult me? I mean, we literally had people requesting it. It was a high honor. So Eminem, I think, was the first person to get, you know, angry at the puppet, which I love saying. I love that someone can get angry at a puppet.
I figured he'd never seen the show and had no idea what was going on. He'd never seen your show and had no idea what Triumph was.
Right. I have no idea. I have no clue. But, you know, it's possible he thought he was just being attacked by a man with a rubber dog on his fist. I love that his bodyguards intervened, and that was the best part. So it's a good thing that he had three bodyguards on hand to protect him from the rubber dog. But
can you talk about the evolution of Triumph on your show?
Yeah, my favorite part about Triumph, and I don't know why, but Triumph has the voice of a Ukrainian woman. You know, you think it's like, it's so nice to see you, yes, yes, oh yes. And I have no idea why, but apparently, you know, this is an immigrant who made his way to the Borscht Belt. And and it was funny right away. And then we started, I think initially Triumph just insulted me. And then we thought, that's really funny. Let's bring Triumph back and have him insult celebrities who are sitting next to me. So after I was done interviewing him, I'd say, would you like to meet Triumph the Insult Comic Dog? And then he would start yelling at William Shatner and say, look at you, Shatner, what has happened? You're fat pig, Shatner. And and then we realized, okay, this is working really well. People really love this. And then there was a period of time where people thought, well, Triumph has run its course. That's it. I think it's done. It's not going to be that funny again. And then someone had the idea. One of our writers noticed that there was this long line outside the Star Wars premiere of Star Wars fans waiting to go in, all dressed as the Star Wars characters. And so someone had the idea, let's send Triumph there. So we sent Triumph with some of our writers, and everybody wrote lines. And that, I think... And I am not an arrogant person, but I do think Triumph in line attacking different Star Wars fans is probably the funniest 10 minutes of television that's been on the air in the last, you know, 5-8 years. That's really one of the one of the greatest things I ever saw. And I love television. I've watched a lot of television, and I just thought, you know, Triumph is talking to a man dressed as Darth Vader, you know, and insulting him.
What did he say?
And the guy as Darth Vader is explaining which buttons do what. Like, this button is my transporter, and this button does this, and this button does that. And Triumph says, yes, yes, and which button do you press to call your mother to come pick you up?
Conan O'Brien from our recent interview. Before we meet Triumph and his creator, Robert Smigel, let's hear an excerpt of Triumph's new CD, Come Poop With Me. The CD has a parental advisory, and most of it contains language that can't be used on the radio. But at the end of Triumph's recording session, his record producer made sure there was something we could play.
That sounded good, Dave. All right, guys. We did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we nailed it. Yes. Good job, Jimmy and Scott and...
Thanks.
Black guy, good for you. You can go back to crapping out that swing for Conan.
Triumph, Jeff Adelston's here.
Yes, what the who? What?
He's from Warner Brothers. He's one of the big executives.
Oh, great, great. Bring him in. Yes, come on in, Jeff. Yes.
Hey, how you
doing,
man?
Doing? Yes.
Good to see you guys.
Good. This is the man, guys. This is the man right here.
You're the man. Oh,
yes.
You're the dog.
I'm the dog, Hey, so you heard it? You happy with it, man?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's really a good album. If we could play it for anybody under the age of 30.
Because it's raunchy. You got me.
Yeah. Raunchy? No, I loved it. I just got to take a bath for a month or so, then I'll be okay.
He has to take a bath.
Yeah, I'm not so sure we can make a warning label big enough for this album. Enough of the pleasantries. I really came here because I wanted to ask you a favor.
What's this, yes?
I need you to, record another track that maybe I could get played on the radio. Or at least until they invent cable radio.
Cable radio. That would be... Okay. Yeah. Something cleaner.
Just something we could get played on the radio without having to put down one giant bleep.
This guy's funnier than I am. He should be doing the album.
Okay, here's the track Triumph recorded for the radio.
I thought my CD was done, but that's not what they say. Do an insult track. We need it for radio play. Ramming the names, I'll take a long, hard pee. Time to mess up the bees like an MP3. American Idols, that's who I look for in the poop section of my local record store. Reuben or Clay, oh, which should I pick? It's like choosing which puddle of vomit to lick. And when I want something even more fruity and fake, I look up N for NSYNC or T for Timberlake. So many skills Justin's making a buck at. Does he rap? Does he sing? He doesn't know what to suck at. Now as for the bitches, let's give Britney thanks for the face that launched a million preteen skanks. You were a virgin, that had to be hard. You've had this more from your mouth than a Saint Bernard. I kid.
He just make a little joke.
I joke with you.
Little dog, little joke. I kid.
Yeah, you're a great actor.
Little dog, little joke.
Now let's go to Walmart where they won't sell my CD. That company's not...
One more thing before we hear my interview with Triumph, the insult comic dog. Parents, just because Triumph is a rubber dog puppet doesn't mean he's for kids. He works blue, and I don't think you'd find this appropriate for children. Well, Triumph, welcome to Fresh Air, and congratulations on your new CD.
Thank you very much. So, it's great to be slumming here on public radio.
You don't do a lot of public radio, do you?
Oh, my target audience is the six 50-year-old hippies who listen to this crap. Yeah, that's what I want. That's this is really going to send my record through the charts. Look out, Nelly. Look out, Nelly. I was on the Terry Gross show.
So, Triumph, now that you're doing rap yourself, are other hip-hop performers willing to accept you, or are you considered an outsider because you're a dog? A real dog.
No, Snoop Dogg, please. I'm the real dog, Snoop Dogg, Triumph, we can both rap, but only one of us can lick his nuts.
Have you changed?
That's the real dog. I have all kinds of street cred, rap credibility. Every morning I'm feeling the streets. Every morning at around 8:30. Earlier if I've eaten fruit.
How have you changed your image now that you've entered the hip-hop world?
I don't have to change my image, They have to change for me, is what it is, Poop Diddy actually has to find a talent now that he's going to have some competition. From now, he can't just be pooping out stool samples. He's got to do some real samples now. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to change. I've been in this business for 63 dog years with all kinds of success. And, I do what I do.
Now, you work pretty blue on this record. In fact, we can't play most of this record on the radio. There's even a parental advisory on the record, and you might be the first dog to have a CD that requires a parental advisory.
Play it, Terry. Come on. You got to jazz the show up somehow,
You may be a dog, but you can't tell me what to do on our show. That's really our call, and we feel that it would be in bad taste to do that.
Okay, here we go.
Do you think that Gene
Simmons warned me about you. He warned me about you. We were a border collie one day. And he was like, I can't. I'm still thinking about that interview. Gene Simmons. By the way, it's a little known fact, 80% of Gene Simmons' groupies are border collies. That's the rest of the story.
Now, your signature line is for me to poop on. How did you come up with that phrase that so identifies you now throughout the world?
You know, originally I wasn't allowed to say that because of all the high standards. You know, back then the censors were... I was on the Steve Allen show in the 50s, and they made me say, you know, that's a nice... those are nice glasses, Steve, for me to relieve myself on. You know. Louis Nye was there, and he was like... I bombed, you know, and then he came up with... for me to go to the bathroom on. But I wasn't allowed to do that till the Sullivan years.
Well, you're really a veteran of show business.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's all about what I'll be allowed, you know? I mean, if NBC ever allows me to say, for me to take a big fat shit on, I'll be Jim Carrey. I'll be the biggest thing in show business.
No, you know we can't say that on our show, right? That you can't...
Well, you can bleep
it. We can bleep it, right, okay.
You can bleep it. Everyone will know what was said. Okay. And leave in a little S, leave in a little sh. So it'll be sh-heep. That's the trick, you know? It's the, I know every trick in the book. Terry, I'm going to help you so much. Terry, you're going to have the number one rated show on NPR after this. You probably already do, but that's like saying, you know, I'm smarter than Justin Timberlake. You know, it's just nothing to brag about.
Now, Triumph, I don't need to tell you that one of the more controversial things in the rap world is the use of the word bitch all the time.
Here we go again.
Right, exactly. Now, it's a word you use a lot in the dog world.
It's a word that has... Look... It's a word that everyone uses in the dog world. It's a bitch. A girl is a bitch. Now, should a dog be offended to be called a woman? Would that be... I don't think any dog would be offended. Not even Benji.
Do you feel
that... That's right. You heard me. Benji's gay. It's time people knew that.
Do you feel that you have been sexist or condescending in your treatment of female dogs?
Listen to this. Let me ask you something. I feel like I'm being bombarded here. I know what's happening here. Did you ask the same questions to Kermit the Frog?
Kermit the Frog didn't do our show. He didn't do our show.
All right. Well, okay. How about when Beethoven did your show? Did you challenge him the way you're challenging me?
It was a different kind of interview. It was a different kind of interview.
It was a different... Okay. Yeah, I can see what's
going on
here.
Beethoven's funny. No, it's different.
Oh, is that right? It's a satire, what Beethoven does. Yes, I'm just... You know, I can't believe the government is paying for this interview. That's what I can't believe. You know? My money that could be going to Pekingese hookers is instead going to... This, you know, public radio that's obviously more slanted than my after I've the St. Bernard. What are we talking about? That's right.
Triumph, I don't think you're being fair, and I think if you gave public radio a chance, you wouldn't feel that way. Because I think public radio has always been fair to the dog world.
I'm trying to give it a chance, but you keep bombarding me. You keep bombarding me. I'm evaluating this interview very closely. Is what I'm doing. You know, this is just 10 minutes of defamation. 70 minutes in dog years. If you think it's fair, Terry, you need to get into another business. That's right. No, good. This is all going to be fodder for Harper's Magazine, for Dog Fancy Magazine, which I know is liberally... There's liberal publishers of Dog Fancy. I mean, that thing is like gay porn anyway.
Well, Triumph, I really don't think you're being fair, and I'm going to change the subject.
Good, because I'm not going to walk out of this interview.
No, good.
I'm not going to do that. I'm better than that, but I am going to take a poop right now. I'm going to poop in this studio right now.
I don't think that's fair. I think you should control yourself. Triumph, how did you become an insult comic?
It's already happening. It's already happening. I ate the burrito before the interview because I was prepared for this.
Triumph, how did you become an insult comic? I mean, why not just do, like, nicer humor?
No, it comes with the territory. You know, it just came naturally. Even as a puppy, I used to kid my mom, you know? And she would encourage me. You know, I have this album is it's very close to me because I sing on the CD many songs, some classics and some new stuff. The Rakatumi Sakatumi for the kids, you know. but both of my parents had musical backgrounds. That's right. My dad is a toy Rottweiler, and he sang in Yiddish theater, and my mom. Is an Afghan who looks exactly like Celine Dion.
What kind of roles did your father have back when he was in Yiddish theater?
Oh, he was in Mit Stuppel an die Kirchen. He played, Feivel, the Flichenflach on that one. And he was in Gesehen, mein Puppen. These are names your kids aren't going to remember. Your audience, even the 60-year-old hippies who listen, aren't going to remember these shows. You know, we're talking Second Avenue and 14th Street, kind of stuff.
Now, you were telling us that you used to do a lot of TV.
Yes.
You used to do a lot of TV variety shows back in the Ed Sullivan era. Did you compete with Topo Gigio the Mouse for the animal spot on the show?
Topo used to do a lot of butt sniffing behind the scenes, you know. Sullivan was the kind of guy who just wanted his butt sniffed. I'm talking figuratively, of course. And Topo was like, Oh, Eddie, how did it go? I think we really killed. You know, it's not me, it's you. The straight man is the whole thing, Ed. And I would, you know, I just wouldn't play that game. I would just like, hey, Sullivan. You know, I'll see you next week, unless you catch me b***ing your wife. You know, that kind of humor. And, you know, Ed didn't go for that. And his wife, Sylvia, was lovely. And I kid, I never did that with Sylvia. You know, Johnny Carson's third wife, I'm not going to say. They were already divorced.
Triumph, at the beginning, you made it clear that you were kind of condescending by doing this interview on public radio, and you don't think we really reach your demographic. But I mean, wouldn't you agree that the kind of like reflective, sensitive interview that we've just had is really unique to the medium?
If you would call that reflective, well, let me look in the puddle of pee down on the floor here. Well, I can see myself. You win.
Well, Triumph, thank you very much for coming. Good luck with your new CD.
And DVD, too. Don't forget. It's a CD and DVD. The kids get more for their money that way.
You know, being on the show, it's not supposed to be just a strictly promotional thing like that.
Oh, no. That's what all I've been doing for the last half hour is saying CD, DVD. Please, you know, here we go again. Here we go again. And Beethoven didn't plug his movie, right? He just barked all night, huh? That's what happened?
Well, Triumph the Insult Comic Dog has a new CD called Come Poop With Me. Now let's talk with the man behind Triumph, Robert Smigel. He created Triumph when he was the head writer for Late Night with Conan O'Brien. Well, okay. Robert Smigel, here you are as yourself. Was that something of a workout for you to actually be in character and act as if you are Triumph without having the puppet on your hand and everything, because it's just radio?
It's fun. It's more fun without the puppet on my hand. I mean, and I'm also in a comfortable chair.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I get to behave like a dignified human being, at least except for the actual interview itself. But normally I'm a 43-year-old guy on my knees, straining somewhere with my arm up in the air, talking to human beings, and it's a very low status kind of performance style, so I don't miss the puppet at all. He's in a bag somewhere.
How many Triumphs are there? Is there only one of them, or are there dozens?
No, there's like three or four of them. They keep getting stolen out of the prop room, actually.
It is just the cheapest looking puppet.
We've gone through like 10. It is the cheapest puppet. Well, I mean, my wife found Triumph at a furniture store that's out of business now, but then we found that the animal puppets were sold in the village in different places, and it was only like $10, and it was just the head. The body is like a gutted stuffed animal, you know, and there are severed heads of stuffed animals floating in the East River somewhere that gave their lives to Triumph.
And did it come with a cigar, or did you stick it in?
No, I added the cigar, and wardrobe added the gold bow tie.
Now, so where does Triumph's voice come from?
It comes from Eastern Europe. I don't know why. I think people, part of it is the when a dog has his tongue out, he's like, like that. He's just got that enthusiasm going for him. And then the Russian part comes from my family. My mom was born in China, but her parents were first generation Russian immigrants here. They fled, Russia in the 20s and settled in Shanghai, and that's where my mom was born, and then they came over here. So I heard the accent all through my childhood, and somehow, I don't know if it's that, one awful theory I had was that it's the same voice that I equate a dog's attitude of wonder with that of an Eastern European immigrant from the turn of the century who's just come over, who's just like, look at all of these. It's amazing. I can't believe everything that's here. So there's some kind of wide-eyed wonder, or maybe it was just that I heard that accent a lot through my childhood, and that somehow it was done in sort of a playful, childish voice that I would hear. So, you know, they would have that kind of, oh, Robert, look at you.
Was there
Robert Cheek, Robert Cheek. That's what my grandma used to call me.
Was there one particular relative who used to do that, yes, yes, that you do?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. No. That's just... Oh, yes, oh, yes. It just came from bad porn. just thought it would be funny for a dog to be doing that while he's having sex. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Did you watch bad porn to prepare to create Triumph?
I really didn't need to. You know, you see one bad porn movie, right, and you've basically seen every bad porn movie.
But, you know, doing Triumph on television, you have to be aware of like standards and practices and what you could say on TV and what you can't. And part of the whole point of Triumph is that the things that kind of people would only do behind closed doors and in private, right, dogs do on the street. Right. You know, whether it's whether it's relieving themselves or
that's right,
engaging in intimate relations with other dogs. So when figuring out how to talk about all of this, you know, comedically in the voice of Triumph, what kind of talks did you have to have with standards and practices at NBC to figure out the line was?
It's a nightmare. And it's like, that's the flip side. I've had so much fun in my career. I've been doing comedy writing in that building for something like 18 years. I mean, between different jobs and coming and going sometimes, but, you know, and I've done a lot of crazy stuff on NBC and, But the flip side is that you spend hours of your life negotiating things like, okay, well, if you let me say no back, I'll take out both. And this is, you know, conversations I have at age 40 with a really earnest, angry human being on the other line. And it's not fun except after the fact to think about. It's a real look back on this and cringe and laugh at the same time kind of experience.
So you've had Triumph insult a lot of celebrities over the years. The most famous, of course, was Eminem at the MTV Awards, at the Video Awards last year.
Yes.
Did MTV not have any idea who Triumph was? That was the did Eminem not have any
Eminem
idea
Eminem had
was?
No idea who Triumph was.
That's what I figured.
The year before I was there, and I approached J-Lo. And I actually asked her permission because I didn't want to, I don't like to ambush people. It's not, necessary for Triumph to do that and be funny. And the next year, sort of a similar situation where I was set up to talk to Moby, and then I requested that I get to talk to Eminem after that. And I said, well, should we warn Eminem? And they were like, oh, no, Eminem, he's, you know, did you see his video? It's hilarious. He's got a great sense of humor. He's going to love it. He's Eminem. And so I sit down with Moby, and we're both planted two rows behind Eminem, because here it was more like contrived. Okay, we're going to sit you down with Moby. We're going to place you behind Eminem. Everybody knows this except Eminem. So Eminem sees Moby sit down and turns to him and glares at him and shouts an expletive at him out of nowhere. And Moby is completely stunned. He has no idea that Eminem was this mad at him. He had agreed to participate in this stunt. But, you know, and Moby had criticized Eminem very harshly in the press, calling him anti-Semitic, homophobic, irresponsible, a number of things. But he had never realized how angry Eminem was. Even Eminem had made fun of Moby in his video that won the award that night, but it, apparently Eminem was really mad at Moby. And, you know, meanwhile, they're counting down 30 seconds, 29, and there's no escaping it at this point. We go ahead and do the bit and hope for the best. And by the time it gets to me approaching Eminem, Eminem's just... he's already stood up once and glared at Moby while I've been insulting Moby. And then he just has no idea who Triumph is. He thinks it's a puppet that's been fashioned by Moby to torment him. And when I approach him, he just kind of panics and is like, yo, I got my TV time. I got my TV time. And I panic and have no desire to, assault Eminem verbally against his will. So I start to back up. And then this rapper Proof, who raps with Eminem just for laughs, throws my script into the air, because I'm always carrying a few notes because I never trust my ability to remember jokes.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like 8 Eminem jokes ready to go. And I'm hidden, so I can always just carry my jokes around. So he knocks my script into the air, and later on people are like, hey, he was going to kill you. Were you scared? What the hell? Eminem looked like he was going to murder you. And I just kind of laughed. I mean, it's just show business, and I felt like I was in the middle of a wrestling sketch. So,
have you ever spoken to him without Triumph on your arm?
I've never met Eminem except for that unfortunate incident. I've talked to his manager since then and apologized that Eminem didn't know. I apologized that Eminem hadn't been warned and told him that whenever I would be asked about it, if I was ever asked about it in an interview, that I would, you know, make it clear that Eminem kind of got a raw deal in terms of being portrayed as... you know, surly and having no sense of humor, because I think he had a right to feel a little bit put upon at that moment.
So do you have like favorite insult comics? Like, did you watch Don Rickles a lot?
I loved Don Rickles when I was a kid, and I love to watch him now because his act has not changed an iota in terms of, I mean, and I can't believe the stuff he still says in his act. It's so politically incorrect, and not in a way that anybody's going to laugh at.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody under the age of 40, I would say. I saw him at that Garden State Arts Center in New Jersey. He opened for Frank Sinatra. I guess this was like 8 years ago, but I doubt that he's changed his act much since then. And he was just like going off on his band, the guys in his band, and there was like a black drummer, and he's like, you know, oh, yeah, guy, very good, you know, the guy hits the jungle drums, yeah, bum ba da bum ba da. No, he's wonderful, he's wonderful. Gotta check my jewelry in my hotel room. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, jeez.
Like, what? Are you crazy? Have you been living in a bubble for the last 30 years? I loved it, though, because he just did it with complete confidence. And then, And then when he's, and then in his act, he just shifts over to like, he sings about his mother with complete earnestness.
Oh, you like know, Triumph does.
Like Triumph does.
It's very Triumph.
That's one of, it's actually one of my favorite songs on the album because Triumph is very earnest, but he can't help but be incredibly grotesque and filthy at the same time.
Right.
But yeah, Don Rickles does a whole tribute to his mother, and it's with no irony, complete sincerity. It's just like from the old school of vaudeville where, you know, you got to leave him with some, you know, something, some heart. And he, you know.
And what about
fantastic,
what,
fantastic stuff.
What about Blue Party Records? Did you have a lot of those? Because, you know, like Triumph is so
right.
Somewhere between lewd and obscene.
No, I know. I really didn't. And I didn't really have, people assume that I have a real taste for this kind of humor. And and I don't. It just happens to have evolved from the medium that I'm dealing in, which is a puppet and the cartoons. Then I thought conceptually it would be really funny to do, to have Triumph do that kind of an album. And just have all the dirty sex songs have to do with dogs.
What kind of pets do you have now?
I have a lovely Wheaton Terrier dog named Wheaty that my wife found. It was literally like the runt of the litter in a pet store window whose price kept going down. And she just finally talked me into buying her this dog. I didn't really want to get into getting a pet because I was so busy, but we love her. And we've had, you know, I had a dog when I was a kid and I had a cat before that. I started as a cat lover, but now I've kind of moved over to dogs because I'm needy. I'm needier now.
Do you ever walk down the street or go into the vet and see dogs that actually remind you of Triumph?
Every dog reminds me of Triumph when they're when they're particularly enthusiastic. But most dogs are, you know, I enjoy the theater of disappointment that dogs offer as well compared to compared to their animated counterparts in children's stories.
Well, Robert Smigel, I want to thank you so much for talking with us, and I'd like you to send my thanks to Triumph as well.
All right. Well, he's just in a plastic bag now.
Okay. That's just as well.
That's where he belongs.
Robert Smigel is the creator of Triumph, the insult comic dog. Triumph's new CD is called Come Poop With Me.